Thank you, Jim. Good morning, brothers and sisters. I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The thoughts that I have that God has put on my heart are many, and I hope that I can rightly divide the words that He gave to me to speak unto you so they mean as much to you as they do to me. I appreciate the song, Let Our Lower Lights Be Burning, that we just sang. And it was written that Jesus Christ is a light that we're supposed to shine, that we're supposed to hold up. They might find the harbor. I would like to start our sermon this morning, and by the way, we might, if we want to put a title to it, we might say, Praise the Lord, from whom all blessings flow. Let our light so shine. Alma 14 and 86. Yea, neither shall they be hard up by the whirlwinds, but when the storm cometh, they shall be gathered together in their place, and the storm cannot be. Yeah, that's the right one. Cannot penetrate them. Yea, neither shall they be driven to the force of the wind, whether the enemy lieth in storm. But behold, they are in the hands of the Lord for the harvest, and they are in His, they are His, and He will rise them up at the last day. Blessed be the name of our God. Let us sing to His praise. Yea, let us give thanks unto His holy name, for He doth work righteousness forever. For if we had not come up to the land of Zarahemla, these our dearly beloved brethren who are so dearly beloved to us would still have been wrecked with hatred against us. Yea, they would still have been a stranger to God. Yea, let us lift up our voices and praise our God. As I thought upon this occasion and the thoughts that God had put in my heart, I was caused to search my mind and my life to see where my praise and thanksgiving should be. First of all, I want to praise my God. And second, I want to praise and thank Jesus Christ, the Lord omnipotent and infinite. And then I want to thank Him for the Book of Mormon and His church. And then I want to thank Him for the fact that we are living on the promised land. A blessing that we do not appreciate it as much as we probably should. I would like to go back and bring the scripture reading up to date. Those were the words of Ammon, the son of King Mosiah. Perhaps we all know the story of those boys. When King Mosiah, the son of King Benjamin, came to the close of his reign, he asked his sons if they would, one of them would take his place as king, and they all refused. But something had happened before that time. Those four boys, Ammon, Himner, and Omni, I can't remember the other's name, had gone astray. And they had joined with the son of Alma. And they had gone about to destroy the church. We know the story, I hope, all of us, about Alma being struck down. And they were brought before his father. Alma, and they prayed for him for 3 days and received his strength again. But as Alma laid in his stricken condition, he had remembered the words of his father that he spoke about Jesus Christ and the God of heaven. And he prayed to him. And after 3 days of the fasting and prayer of Alma and the group there, he received his strength and he spoke unto the people. The upshot was that Alma and the sons of Messiah turned around 180 degrees and spent the rest of their life serving God. Even more than that, they went to their father and asked him for these four sons of Messiah went to him and asked him for permission to go down and preach to the Lamanites, the people who had been seeking to destroy them for years, to preach to them, scare them the gospel, the knowledge of the God and his son Jesus Christ. And of course, King Messiah was a little bit apprehensive about that request. And so he went to his God and asked him what he should do. And he was told, let them go. I will protect them. And so they went. Yes, they were suffered. Some of them was put in jail. Some of them was treated rather harshly. Ammon perhaps was the most blessed of all of them. But he went right straight to the kings of the Lamanites, of one group of them at least, and asked to be his servant. And he was accepted. And he went out with his king's servants to watch over the sheep. And had just before that, the robbers of that area had driven the king's sheep away and from the water. And the king was so upset, he had them all killed. And so as the story goes, Ammon went with his other servants and they went out to water the sheep at the well. And the robbers came and drove the sheep away. The other servants fled because they knew what happened to their brothers earlier. But instead Ammon went and single-handedly destroyed those wicked robbers and gathered the sheep and brought them back to their fold. The other servants was in and reported back to the king about what Ammon had done. And they said, is he a god? Is he a spirit? We don't know. We know that no man could do what he done. And so he brought Ammon in and talked to him about it and asked him if he was a god. And he said, no, I'm just a man. But there is a God. And he taught them. And the upshot of it was the whole group was converted. Not only the king, but his father, who was the king over the whole area. And they was allowed to go throughout all the land and preach to the people. And nobody was allowed to touch them or to persecute them in any way after that. And so at this point, they were rejoicing over what God had done. They knew that it was God that did it. Now I want to go to Messiah 2 and 9. This is Ammon talking, I believe it is. No. King Benjamin talking. And now I say unto you that if ye have come to the knowledge of the goodness of God and of his matchless power and his wisdom and his patience and his long-suffering towards man, the children of men, and also the atonement which he has prepared from the foundation of the world, that thereby salvation might come unto him that should put his trust in the Lord, and should be diligent in keeping the commandments and the continue in the faith even unto the end of his life, I mean the life of the mortal body. I say, this is the man who receiveth salvation through the atonement of that which is prepared from the foundation of the world. For all mankind, which ever were since the fall of Adam, who are or whoever shall be, even till the end of the world, and this is the means whereby salvation cometh. And there's none other salvation save this which have been spoken of, neither shall there be any condition where man can be saved except the condition which I have told you. Believe in God. Believe that he is. Believe that he created all things, both in heaven and in earth. Believe that he hath all wisdom and all power, both in heaven and earth. Believe that man doth not comprehend all things which the Lord hath can comprehend. And again, believe that ye must repent of your sins and forsake them. And humble yourself before God. Ask in sincerity of heart that he would forgive you. And now if you believe all these things, see that you do them. And again, I say unto you, if you have, as I've said before, as you have come to the knowledge of the glory of God, or if you have known of his goodness and tasted of his love, and have received the remission of your sins, which causeth such exceeding great joy in your souls, even so I would that you should remember and always retain the remembrance the greatness of God and your own nothingness and his goodness and long-suffering towards you, unworthy creatures. The magnitude and the omnipotence and the glory of God is beyond my human understanding. But I know that all things come from him. As you read here, he created the earth by the power of his word and all things that in them are. That he had prepared even the foundation of the world that Christ would come and atone for the sins that he knew Adam was going to do. All those were prepared from the beginning of time. In the Bible, in the book of Isaiah 53, starting with verse 94. Excuse me. My eyes are not tracking real good. It's 53, verse 3. I knew that was 94 verses in chapter 53. I'll start with verse 1. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? or he shall grow up before him a tender plant as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form of comeliness, and when he shall see him, there shall be no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised, he is rejected of men, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. And we hide, as it were, from his face, from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we were healed. We all like sheep gone astray. We have turned every one from his own ways, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquities of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and the sheep before the shears is dumb. So he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his this generation? Who is cut off out of the land of the living for the transgression of my people? Was he stricken? And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. Because he had done no violence, neither was there any deceit found in his mouth. Yet it pleased God to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed and shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Yes, God foretold some 600 years before Christ came what would be his mission. He was prepared from the foundation of the world. In Alma, the 16th chapter, starting with verse 207. Alma wrote, "Behold, I say unto you, I know that Christ shall come among the children of men, and take upon him the transgression of his people. There shall be atoned for the sins of the world, for the Lord God hath spoken it. For it is expedient that an atonement should be made, for according to the great plan of the eternal God, there must be an atonement made, or else all mankind most unavoidable perish. Yea, all are hardened, yea, all are fallen, all are lost, and must perish except it be through the atonement which is expedient should be made. For it is expedient that there should be a great last sacrifice, not a sacrifice of man, neither a beast, neither any manner of fowl, for it should be a human sacrifice. It shall not be a human sacrifice, but must be. It is not any man that can sacrifice for his own blood, which shall be atoned for the sins of another. Now if a man murdereth, behold, will our law, which is just, take the life of his brother? I say unto you, nay. But the law requireth the life of him that doth murder. Therefore there can be nothing which is short of an infinite atonement, which will suffice for the sins of the world. Therefore it is expedient that there should be a great and last sacrifice. And then shall there be, or it is expedient that there should be, a stop to the shedding of blood. That then shall the law of Moses be fulfilled. It shall be fulfilled every jot and tittle, and none shall have passed away. And behold, this is the whole meaning of the law. every whit, pointing to the great and last sacrifice, and that great and last sacrifice will be the Son of God, yea, infinite and eternal, and thus shall bring salvation to all those who shall believe in his name. And this being the intent of this last sacrifice, to bring about the bowels of mercy, which overpowereth justice, and bringeth all means unto men, that they may have faith unto him unto repentance. And now I want to go to 3 Nephi, Christ's own words. 4th chapter and 9th verse. No, 44th verse. Behold, I am Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And I think probably most of you know where I'm reading from and what the period of time it was. This happened after Christ's crucifixion in Jerusalem and his resurrection. When he came to here in this land about the end of the year, 34th year after his birth, he appeared to the people upon this land, and this is what he said: Behold, I am Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I created the heavens and the earth and all things that in them are. I was with the Father in the beginning, I'm in the Father, and the Father in me, and in me hath the Father glorified his name. I came unto my own, and my own received me not, and the scriptures concerning my coming are fulfilled. And as many as have received me, to them I have given to become the sons of God. And even so will I to as many as shall believe in my name. For behold, by me redemption cometh, and me the law of Moses is fulfilled. I am the light of the world. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and end. And there shall be, you shall offer up unto me no more the shedding of blood. Yea, your sacrifices and your burnt offerings shall be done away, for I will accept none of your sacrifices and your burnt offerings, and ye shall offer up for sacrifice unto me a broken heart and a contrite spirit. And whosoever cometh to me with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, him will I be baptized with fire and with the Holy Ghost, even as the Lamanites, because of their faith in me, at the time of their conversion, were baptized with fire and with the Holy Ghost, and they knew it not. And there he's speaking of the very thing that I read in the beginning, of the thing that God done for those people there when the sons of Nephi went down and talked to them. For behold, I have laid down my life and have taken up again. Therefore repent and come unto me, ye ends of the earth, and be saved. In John 12,23rd verse. And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it. He that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, for where I am, there shall he my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say, Father? Save me from this hour? But for this cause came I unto this hour. And as we have read earlier, that was prepared from the foundation of the world, and he knew. He tried to explain to his disciples as he walked with them and taught the people what his mission was. But they just didn't understand, and neither do we. First Nephi. Three and 157. Remember, I said that I wanted to thank God for the Bible and the Book of Mormon. Here, Nephi saw, not on his day, but he saw our forefathers come here and settle in Massachusetts and Plymouth Rock. He saw the development of this land. He saw the Revolutionary War. He saw the victory. And he saw our forefathers build a nation that was beyond anything that mankind had ever seen before. And he said he looked at one of the people of this land, and this is what he saw. And I beheld a book, and it was carried forth among them. And the angel said unto me, Knowest thou the meaning of the book? And I said unto them, I know not. And he said, Behold, it proceedeth forth out of the mouth of the Jew. And I, Nephi, beheld it. He said unto me, The book which thou seest is a record of the Jews, which containeth the covenants of the Lord, which he hath made unto the house of Israel. And it also containeth the prophecies, many of the prophecies of the holy prophets, and is a record like unto the gravings which are upon the place of brass, save there were not so many. Nevertheless, they contain the covenants of the Lord, which he hath made with them. And I think we know when he sucks the place of brass, what he's talking about. That is the place that Nephi and his brethren went back, the sons of King Lehi, to get those records of the Jews from the high priest. They finally obtained them, and they came forth in our day, or at least just prior to our day. And he's telling that this book that he saw among the, of course, they understood the brass plates. And they knew that they came out of Jerusalem. And now he was telling them that this book that they saw was a record of their forefathers in Jerusalem. It's a record like unto the gravings which are upon the place of brass, save there are not so many. Nevertheless, they contain the covenants of the Lord which he had made unto the house of Israel. Wherefore they are great worth unto the Gentiles. And the angel of the Lord said unto me, Thou hast beheld the book proceeding forth out of the mouth of the Jews, and when it proceeded forth out of the mouth of the Jews, it contained the plainness of the gospel of the Lord, and of whom the 12 apostles bear record, and they bear record according to the truth which is in the Lamb of God. Wherefore, the things which go forth from the Jews in the purity unto the Gentiles according to the truth which is in God. And after they go forth by the hand of the 12 apostles of the Lamb, from the Jews unto the Gentiles, thou seest the foundation of the great and abominable church, which most abominable of all other churches. For behold, they have taken away from the gospel of the Lamb many of the plain and precious things, things which are plain and most precious. And it's also many of the covenants of the Lord which have taken away. read just a little bit more there before I skip on down farther. And this have they have done that they might pervert the right way of the Lord, that they might blind the eyes and harden the hearts of the children of men. Wherefore thou seest that after the book hath gone forth through the hands of the great and abominable church, that there are many plain and precious things taken away from the book, which is the book of the Lamb of God. And after these plain and precious things were taken away, it goeth forth unto all the nations of the Gentiles. And after it goeth forth to all the nations of the Gentiles, yea, even across the many waters which thou hast seen with the Gentiles, which have gone forth out of activity. And because of the many plain and precious things which were taken back out of the book, which were both plain and understanding, the children of men, according to the plainness of the Lamb of God, because these things have been taken away out of the gospel of the Lamb, and exceeding great many do stumble, insomuch that the Satan doth have great power over them. And I'm going to stop down, jump over to 180. Wherefore, thus saith the Lamb of God, I will be merciful unto Gentiles, unto the visiting of the remnant of the house of Israel in great judgment. And it came to pass that the angel of the Lord spake unto me, saying, Behold, the Lamb of God, after I have visited the remnant of the house of Israel, and this remnant of whom I speak is the seed of my father. Therefore, after I have visited to them in judgment and smitten them by the hand of the Gentiles, and after the Gentiles have stumbled exceedingly because the most plain and precious parts of the gospel have been taken away, of the gospel of the Lamb, which had been kept back by the abominable church, which was the mother of harlots, saith the Lamb, I will be merciful in Gentiles in that day, insomuch that I bring forth unto them in mine own power much of my gospel, which shall be plain and precious, saith the Lamb. Behold, saith the Lamb, I will manifest myself unto theirs thy seed, and they shall write many things which I shall manifest unto them, which be plain and precious. And after all thy seed shall be destroyed and dwindle in unbelief, and also the seed of thy brethren, behold, these things shall be hid up and come forth in the Gentiles by the gift and the power of the Lamb. And in them shall be written, My gospel, saith the Lamb, my rock and my salvation. I think we all know the history found in the Book of Mormon. The Nephi saw his people. This was about 600 years before Christ that he wrote this, and about 400 years after Christ, his people were destroyed. The descendants, he had a few of his descendants probably survived, but the most of them were descendants of his two older brothers. And in the meantime, the Book of Mormon contains a record of all the time between 600 years before Christ to 400 after Christ, which is about 1,000 years. Going on. In them shall be written, My gospel, saith the Lamb, my rock and my salvation. And blessed are they who shall seek to bring forth my Zion at that day, for they shall have the gift and the power of the Holy Ghost. And if they endure to the end, they shall be lifted up at the last day and shall be saved in the everlasting kingdom. But whosoever puffeth peace and tidings of great joy, how beautiful upon the mountains are they. And it came to pass that I have held the remnant of my seed, and also the book of the Lamb of God, which before proceeded forth out of the mouth of the Jews, that it came forth from the Gentiles and to the remnant of the seed of my brethren. And after it had come forth unto them, I beheld other books which came forth by the power of the Lamb from the Gentiles unto them, unto the convincing of the Gentiles and the remnant of the seed of my brethren, and also the Jews, who were scattered upon all the face of the earth, that the records of the prophets and the 12 apostles of the Lamb are true. And an angel spake unto me, saying, These last records which thou hast seen among the Gentiles will establish the truth of the first, which are the 12 apostles of the Lamb, and to make known the plain and precious things which have been taken away from them. and shall make known all to all kindreds, tongues, and people that the Lamb of God is the Son of the Eternal Father and the Savior of the world, and that all men must come to him or they cannot be saved. And they must come according to the words which shall be established by the mouth of the Lamb. And the words of the Lamb shall be made known unto in the records of thy seed, as well as in the records of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Wherefore they both shall be established in one, and shall be one God and one shepherd over all the earth. And the time cometh that he shall manifest himself unto all nations, both unto the Jews and also to the Gentiles. And after he's manifest himself unto the Jews and also unto the Gentiles, he manifests himself unto the Gentiles and also to the Jews. And the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. So it comes to pass that the Gentiles shall hearken to the Lamb of God in that day that shall be manifest himself unto them in word and also in power and very deed unto the taking away of their stumbling block. And harden not their hearts against the Lamb of God, they shall be numbered among the seed of thy Father. And they shall be numbered among the house of Israel, and they shall be a blessed people upon the promised land forever. And shall be no more brought down to captivity, and the house of Israel shall no more be confounded. He covered here the whole time from his day unto our day. We all know that the Book of Mormon was given by the power of God. And it was translated by the power of God, not by any man, but by the power of God through the instruments that God had given, the Urim and Thummim. He said that though the record of the Jews be of great worth unto the Gentiles, and it has been, really it has been of greater influence upon the habits of this land than that in all the rest of the world. But even so, because of this, it says there, the plain and precious things were taken away, that many do stumble. And we see the condition of our own world today, that indeed many have stumbled. I'd like to go now to Matthew, the 16th chapter. This is the account of Jesus when he was traveling, and he came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi and asked his apostles, disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." And he said to them, "But whom do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." You are the Christ, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And verily I say unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock shall build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever shall seal bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." The very fact that Christ was the Son of God, he built his church. It read back there in the Book of Mormon about the other books that was he saw among the people. And those are some of the things that we will see yet. It would seem that mankind has reached out and got other books that's not spoken of here. But another place it tells you that, you know, the house of Israel was 12 tribes. And the kingdom was divided at King Solomon's day into two kingdoms. The northern kingdom was called Israel. The southern kingdom was just a little bit north of Jerusalem, south, was called Judah. There was 10 tribes of those 12 who lived in the northern part and 2.5 tribes in the southern part. They was carried away into captivity and destroyed until the day that God will redeem them and bring them back. Christ told them when he was here that when he gathered them back, they're going to bring their own record with them. Also, the Book of Mormon, or the record that the brass plates that he talked about, we do not have. We only have an abridgment of the brass plates. But there will be a day when we will have them. There will be a day when the house of Israel gathered in that they will bring their records with them. What happened to the northern kingdom? We don't know. They were scattered in all the world. And apparently even they do not know who they are, many of them. But they'll come forth in their own day and they will bring their record with them. You know, to me that is a feat that would seem almost impossible. If they don't know who they are, why will they come? And how will they come? It tells because the gospel was going to be taken to them. The Book of Mormon tells us that the Gentiles will take the gospel to those lost tribes. And we're seeing it done. Though we don't know who they are, we don't know who they are or where they are. But it says that this gospel will be preached in all the world for a witness, and then shall the end come. Somehow. And it wouldn't surprise me that it will not be quite like the Book of Mormon. It was buried in the earth, and God brought it forth so they can bring it to us. Doesn't tell me that, but that's what I expect. I probably will not see it myself, but I praise my God because I can see it in the future. You know, he brought the house of Israel here for a very purpose. To preserve them. To preserve their record. It was his great plan. And they made their record. And he even told us when it would come about. He even told the people in this land when the things which they were writing would be brought forth unto the Gentiles, that they would know, or the world would know, that he was the beginning of a great and marvelous work. A time when the august gospel would be preached in all the world for a witness. Though it's not foretold that all mankind will take it and believe it, but it's taken to them for a witness that they must, can know, and they should know. In the Book of Mormon, in the 12th chapter of 3rd Nephi, After Christ's teachings here and established the church upon this land, he was only here for 3 days. He came back several times after that, but he was just here for 3 days. He was in Jerusalem for 30 years, but he preached and taught for 3 years. But after he left them, he came back and talked to them several times. And once one time, the 12 disciples that he chose were praying, and he came to them and said, "What is it you want?" And starting with the 16th verse on the 12th chapter says, "And they said unto him, Lord, we will that thou wouldst tell us the name whereby this church shall be called, what ye shall call this church, for there are disputations among this people, this matter. And the Lord said to them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, why is it that the people should murmur about and dispute about this thing? Have they not read the scriptures, which say ye must take upon you the name of Christ, which is my name, and by this name shall ye be called at the last day? And whosoever taketh upon him my name and endureth the end, the same shall be saved at the last day. Therefore, whatsoever you shall do it in my name. Therefore, you should call the church in my name. It shall call upon the Father in my name, and that he will bless the church for my sake, and have it my church, shall be called in my name. But if the church be called in Moses' name, then it is Moses' church. Be called in the name of a man, then it is a man's then it is a church of a man. But if it's called in my name, then it is my church. If it's built upon my gospel." Dropping on down to the 25th verse, said, "And I give unto you my gospel, and this is the gospel which I give unto you, that it may come unto the world, to the will of my Father, because my Father sent me. And my Father sent me that I might be lifted up upon the cross. And that's been lifted up on the cross, I might draw all men unto me. That as I have been lifted up by the cross, even so should men be lifted up by the Father to stand before me to be judged of their works, whether they be good or whether they be evil. And for this cause have I been lifted up. Therefore, according to the power of the Father, I will draw all men unto me, that they may be judged according to their works. It shall come to pass that whosoever repenteth and is baptized in my name shall be filled with it. Shall be filled. And if he endures to the end, behold, him will I hold guiltless before my Father at that day when I shall stand to judge the world. And he that endureth the end, not to the end, the same must be hewn down and cast into the fire." And I said I would be thankful that I have been permitted to live upon this good old USA for several reasons. The first people who came to this land came in about 2,000 years before Christ. That's after the flood. At the time of the Tower of Babel, as a matter of fact. And they were brought here because they asked that they would not be confounded. But they was told that it was a promised land. And whosoever should live upon this land must serve the God of this land, or they'd be swept off when they did not. And those people were swept off. They come here about 2,000 years before Christ's time, and they were swept off about 600 years after Christ, down to the last man. But when they asked to come here, their promise was made to them that they would have to serve the God of this land, which was Jesus Christ. And it's Ether, first chapter. get my book straight right here. I didn't write down the exact verse I wanted on that, but at any rate, in Moroni, when he was bridging the books of those people Jared or Ether, as he was the last writer, he was reminded of the promise that was made to those people, that they should be worship the God of this land. And he was told that this was also to the Gentiles. They must serve the God of this land and be swept off. But in closing, I'd like to read from Alma, the 16th chapter. Starting with 237. And now, my beloved brethren, I desire that you remember the things which I, that you should work out your salvation with fear and trembling, and that God would no more deny the coming of Christ, that you contend no more against the Holy Ghost, that you receive it and take upon you the name of Christ, that you humble yourselves even to the dust of the earth, and worship God in whosoever place you shall be, in the spirit and in truth, and that you shall live in thanksgiving daily for the many mercies and blessings which have been bestowed upon you. Yea, I also exhort you, my brethren, that you should be watchful unto prayer continually, that you may not be led away by the temptations of the devil, that he may not overpower you, and that you may not become the subjects, his subjects of the last day. For behold, he rewarded you no good thing. And now, my beloved brethren, I would exhort you to have patience, that ye may bear with all manner of afflictions, that ye be not reviled against those who cast you out because of your exceeding poverty, lest ye become sinners like unto them, but that ye be patient and ye bear with those afflictions and the firm hope that ye shall one day rest from all your afflictions. And these are the words that Alma spoke unto the people that had been cast out of their own land, they weren't allowed to worship in the synagogue that they even helped build, among the Zoramites, because they were poor and they didn't have the proper clothes or the attirement to set in the synagogue that they had built. And so I tell them that don't worry about that. You can worship God in whatever place you can, but to be patient and long-suffering in our afflictions. God has blessed us with many things. He's blessed us with a land of promise. He's blessed us with His Word. He's blessed us with His Son, Jesus Christ. He has testified unto us with all things that He is the God of the whole world, and that He will bless us with eternal life if we live for it. God bless you.